Good morning. It's Sunday, the 19th of June, and you are welcome to Ballyhenry. A number of announcements this evening, or sorry, this Tuesday evening, we have a congregational committee meeting here in the church at 8 p.m. And then linked in the committee, on behalf of committee, can I say a big thank you to everyone who took part in our work morning yesterday. Folks that were there did a great job and had good fun. I think there's a picture, yep, you'll see a mixture of all that was going on. And a special thanks to Agnes and the Ken for organising this. It went really well. And then next Sunday is our annual Children's Day. Now this is the first time we've been able to do this since 2019, so let me just remind you how it all works. We'll have an all-age service here in the church, so everybody will be in for the whole time. And then we're looking forward to a church picnic out in our grounds. And if it's wet, we've got the run of the place in here, so we'll find somewhere to eat our picnic no matter what the weather is. So whether you're young or old, whether you come along on your own or you come with others, next Sunday, can I encourage you, bring a lunch along to church and we'll enjoy time together after our service. Then I want to bring you up to date with some information about our elders. On Monday evening past, we went out as a group to mark the 60th anniversary of the ordination of one of our elders. Now, none of the guys in that picture have been ordained for 60 years, but if we keep going, none of them either. If we keep going, none of them. There you go. George. George has been ordained as an elder for 60 years, and we thought that that was an excuse for us to go out as a group to Nags, and we had a lovely evening there. A big milestone for George, and we were delighted to mark it with him. And George, it's lovely just to be able to share that with the congregation this morning. 60 years as an elder, and it's lovely to have you with us this morning. Then another one of our elders, Mr. Jimmy Johnson, has given notice of his desire to retire as an elder. This is a photo. I actually took this about a year ago round at Jimmy's house. So just for any of you who maybe don't know him, Jimmy will now become what's known within the Presbyterian Church as an elder emeritus. I think emeritus means retired in Latin. But Jimmy has served quietly and faithfully for many years in this role. And we give thanks for Jimmy's years of service. And we wish him God's blessing in these retirement years. And then finally, at a session meeting last Sunday, our clerk of session, Malcolm Frew, gave notice of his retirement as clerk of session. Malcolm has served this congregation with diligence, wisdom, and commitment in his role as clerk of session for many years, going back to before the time that I was here as minister. Malcolm continues to serve as an elder, though now retired as clerk of session. And I'm sure we'll have opportunity at another time to pass on our sincere thanks to Malcolm for all he has given in this role. But I am pleased to inform you that at that same meeting, our elders unanimously agreed the appointment of a new clerk of session. And so this morning, I am delighted to be able to share with you the news that we welcome William Hutton into this role. William, as an eldership, we are delighted that you have agreed to serve in this way. On a very personal level, I look forward to working closely with you, as I know the congregation will be pleased to hear this news this morning. And we really do wish you well in this role. You don't get an applause, you only get that after 60 years. Remind somebody of that when the time comes. Nolene's got an announcement for us.
I actually got all excited. I saw two chairs out and I thought, fame at last, he's going to interview me and find out all wonderful things. Not a bit, but nevertheless, I'm up for a couple of things. I'll do the smaller ones first. You know, if you were here last week and you heard Dan speak about the uniform ministry, for many years I have collected the uniform from the church and delivered them up to him. So if anyone has school uniforms at any point over the summer, as long as they're laundered, give them to me and I will make sure they go to where they need to go. The other thing is regarding the food bank, if anyone is able over the next couple of weeks, cereal, fruit juice, jam, three shortages simply because the children are all finishing school. Now, I don't mean fruit juice out of the fridge. You know the cartons that you buy on the shelf or fruit shoot or something like that. So it's just three items, cereal, juice, jam, any of those. Again, just bring them and I'll deal with them. But the main reason I'm up is Meet the Neighbours. If you're new to church, you may not know that Meet the Neighbours is a community event that we hold every year where we invite all our local community in, we feed them and entertain them for the afternoon. This, however, requires quite a lot of manpower. So if you're able to help me, I'd appreciate it. I need people who would be willing to do crafts. Normally, I don't ask anybody to do more than 2 hours. So if I have three people for 2 hours each, so that's six of you. And if you're able to help with tea, again, I would appreciate it. If you work for a company that's willing to donate anything, give me a shout. I don't mind asking them. Or if they have a wee community fund that they want me to apply to, again, not a problem. Truthfully, I'm a bit of a beggar. I'll take anything of anybody. So if you know of anybody giving anything away, money or practical, give me a wee shout and I'll do it. And if you can help, please do let me know. I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Nolan, thank you. And it was with regret on Tuesday past that we learned of the death of Mrs. Lily Crothers, late of Beverly Avenue. Lily and her late husband Norman were foundation members of Ballyhenry here back in 1972. To her sons, Norman and Ian, we pass on our sympathies and encourage you to remember them in your prayers. Lily's funeral service will be held here in the church tomorrow at 2 p.m. And in connection with this is a little bit of setting up that will be done in the hall. And if some of you were available afterwards just to help with that, that would be really appreciated. In the Bible, we read these words. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We're going to stand together to sing the words of our opening praise, I See the King of Glory.
Come on.
going to invite another one of our elders, Ricky, to come and lead us in prayer.
Let's pray together. Father God, Lord Almighty, King of the universe, in the beginning you merely spoke and all of creation came into being. The sun, the moon, and stars you hung in place. The grass, the flowers, and the animals of the field, the birds of the air, you made by your word. How wonderful and amazing a universe you have made for us to enjoy. We thank you, though, that you didn't just speak us into being, but you made us in your image to rule and look after the world and to bring glory to you. Father, we acknowledge today how we have marred that image through our sinfulness and selfishness, how we've not lived as you've intended and strayed from you. We repent now of the ways we have fallen from you this week, through things said and unsaid, done and undone. We thank you, though, Lord, that your word reminds us that you are compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. Neither do you treat us as your sins deserve or repay us according to your iniquities. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far you've removed our transgressions from us. Thank you, Father, for your grace for us, for not giving us as our sin and wrongdoing against you deserves, but through sending Jesus to pay the price for us. Help us, Lord, to walk with you daily, to live holy lives which glorify you and show your love and grace to all those around us. Thank you also, Lord, for the great privilege it is of being here and being able to grow in the knowledge and love and faith in you, and to be better equipped to serve you in the week ahead. As we come to worship you now in this service, may all we do and say be pleasing in your sight, because you are worthy of all praise and honour and thanks. For in Christ's precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ricky. Just to mention, this incoming week is the annual General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. The big idea of how Presbyterians do things is they come together and they do things in a very democratic way in terms of making decisions. So this week, ministers and elders from Presbyterian churches right across Ireland, from Lisburn to Limerick, from Coleraine to Cork, they'll come together in Belfast for their annual General Assembly, and we will be represented by myself as your minister, and Ricky will be representing our elders at that meeting, which will run from Wednesday evening through to Sunday. So it's just to mention that. One particular thing maybe to highlight is that on Thursday evening there is what's called the Assembly Rally. It's an open meeting of praise led by the New Irish Choir, New Irish Orchestra, I think it is, on Thursday evening. And the guest speaker at that meeting will be Peter Linus. Peter is the leads up what's called the Evangelical Alliance in the UK, and Peter will be the guest speaker at that. So that's at 7:45 on Thursday evening in the Assembly Buildings, Spires Centre in Belfast. You don't need to book, you're able just to turn up at that, and that will be a really good and encouraging night. A lot of the Assembly business is streamed online if that is of interest, and as I say, just to let you know what's going on during the week, let me encourage you to pray for Dr. John Kirkpatrick, our incoming moderator. He's from Portrush, and he's going to be leading our church forward for the year ahead. We're not going to have a children's talk this morning, and the reason that is because the boys and girls are going to go straight out to prime time. They are practicing stuff for next Sunday. So for those of you who want to avail of the creche space, this is also a good opportunity now at this point to do that. Bible class will go out later in the service, so if you sit your ground just at the moment. But firstly, we're going to sing a song together. Boys and girls, stay in for this, and then you can go out at the end. It's entitled, Just Give Me Jesus.
Just give me Jesus and I'll be all right. With him I can make it walking beside. I know my tomorrows are safe in his hands. Just give me Jesus, I know I can stand. Distractions seem to cloud my way. All the cares of life surrounding can lead my heart astray. When I cannot find the answers, I know someone who can. So in the middle of my questions, I reach for his hand. Just give me Jesus.
Last Sunday, if you were with us, you'll know that we did the wee interview at this time in our service. And it was called This Time Tomorrow. And it was really just an acknowledgement that often we look around us in church and we know what we're doing now because we're all here. But so often we don't really know what we do during the week. And it's an opportunity just to find out a little bit more about one of our folks. So I'm going to invite Gareth to come up to the front, Gareth Edgar, to find out about This Time Tomorrow. And I think we've got a slide that'll just give us a sort of, no, you don't have that? It's up there. This Time Tomorrow is the question. Gareth, thank you for having a chat with us this morning. So it's 11 o'clock, or it's half 11. And the question is, this time tomorrow, what's Gareth Edgar doing?
This time tomorrow, I will be finishing off my sixth session of the day. So I normally start at 6 a.m. and work right
You start work at 6 a.m.?
Start work at 6, and I'm up from 4 to 5, yeah.
I thought the only people that started work at that time were dairy farmers, but you're not a dairy farmer, no?
No. I'm a personal trainer.
You do realize now there are going to be people who didn't catch that last bit, and for the next 5 years are going to think you're a dairy farmer. tell us about what you do. Tell us about what you do in your work.
From day to day, I work with a variety of people, from elite athletes to children to the likes of working men and women, such as Stephen Dunn.
Is that not a breach of client confidentiality?
I can say I've worked together for years.
So wait a minute, you've given us the categories. You've said elite athletes, men of a certain age who are trying to lose weight. Yeah. And what was the third category?
And young athletes and just children.
I still haven't worked out where Stephen fits into that. Keep going. Realize you've lost a client.
There's a variety of people I work with. All from different backgrounds, with different goals, different agendas in mind.
And this is your own business, you work for yourself?
Yeah, I've been self-employed now for 13 years.
How's that been, during the pandemic and all that kind of stuff, what was your job like?
I actually, it's going to sound bad, but I enjoyed the pandemic. I was fortunate enough to be, I was blessed enough to be very, very busy with the online work. I was able to spend more time with family, and we just had a wee girl during the pandemic, another girl, Noah, so I got to spend more time with her, probably time we would never get to do. Obviously, being self-employed, you're always working. I work unsociable hours, so I only get to really see my girls from Friday to Sunday. Monday to Thursday, I'm working mornings and then nights.
What time does your work? So, what time does your work finish at in the afternoon? What time do you sort of clock off at?
So I clock off in the afternoon, 12 o'clock, and then I'm back in from 4 o'clock to 9 o'clock, most days.
Okay, so you've kind of got a gap in the afternoon, so you have the early start, but you're working most evenings in the week, yeah?
Yeah, most evenings. And during the day, checking out the online guys.
Okay. Gareth, in that sense, you're wearing a number of hats. I mean, you're running your own business. You are working face-to-face with the public. You're working with a real variety of people, from elite athletes through to children and everybody else in between. How can we pray for you as you seek to do your work and as you seek to do it well?
I think with my work, especially since I sort of came to faith when I was 24, I'm always looking for opportunities. So, next to me and Stephen, there wouldn't be a session we would go past where we talk about church or God or the Bible. But even with especially with the young people, I think it's more opportunity, wisdom to see the opportunity, and they also use the opportunity just to talk about God and to help them through their journey, whatever that may be, through fitness, through the physical side, through the spiritual side, and for most people, through the mental side of it too. So.
I think the thing that strikes me is, you know, the Bible teaches God has made us body, soul, and mind. And therefore, having a job that encourages people to look after their bodies and even all the stuff that goes with that, I mean, what you're doing is a good thing. And it's lovely just to hear about it and to give us an idea of what you're doing this time tomorrow. So let me pray with you just as we as we pause. Father, we thank you for all the different things that people out of this church will be doing this time tomorrow. And Lord, Gareth has reminded us of his work and his role working as a fitness instructor and a trainer alongside people. And Lord, we pray that you'd encourage him in his work. Pray that you would encourage him as he carries the pressures of running his own business. Pray that you'd be with him at home as a dad, Lord, with the pressures of long and unsociable hours. And pray, Father, that as he works alongside others, you would help him to be a good voice and a good input into people's lives. So, Lord, thank you for him and encourage him in the week to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Gareth, thank you. And you can have a seat. I want to show you all just a very short wee clip of a video. An organization that I have appreciated for the past 20 years and more is an organization called the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity. And it very much encourages people to understand that all of our lives matters to God. What we're doing in church, but what we're doing in our workplace, what we're doing at home, the whole thing belongs to God, and he's interested in it. They are doing a UK tour at the minute over, I think they're traveling around 40 cities within the UK, and they're going to be in Belfast on Thursday evening, the 30th of June, presenting an evening about what they do and just encouraging people to understand that God's interested in all of our lives. I've booked into that evening. I'm looking forward to going to it, and I just wanted to show you a little promotional video. It's a free event to go to. I'll send an email around the whole congregation in the next day or so just to give you a link if you're interested in this, because it really helps to build that ethos, reminding us that all of life matters to God. It's what they talk about as whole life discipleship. So this is Paul Woolley, who is the CEO of London Institute for Contemporary Christianity, highlighting this event on Thursday, the 30th of June.
Hello, my name is Paul Woolley and I'm the CEO at LICC. Imagine if every Christian lived their life as Jesus would live it if he were them. Imagine the difference that that would make in the different spaces and places Christians show up. It would change cities, it would change the UK, it would change the world. That's what LICC is all about. It's 40 years since we were founded, and this whole life disciple-making mission is as important as ever. So in the year ahead, as we emerge out of the pandemic, we're on tour. We'll be in a city near you, and we'd love you to join us one evening to hear more about how this whole life vision can transform the way we see our daily lives and work, and how we might partner together to make a difference at this pivotal moment in our culture. The evening events will begin with refreshments. After that, we'll share stories, research, videos, and music that capture the essence of what we do and how we might get alongside you as you seek to be authentic disciples of Jesus in your everyday life. In the coming months, we'll be in London, Swindon, Glasgow, Nottingham, Belfast, Cardiff, Salford, and Bristol, with plenty more locations and dates to be announced shortly. Everyone is invited, whether you've been involved with LICC for decades or you've only just heard about us. You can register your free place now by going to the website licc.org.uk/40cities. We're really excited about what's in store, and it would be great to see you.
I'll send out a wee email link if that would be of interest to you. Want to come now to pray for others, and want to highlight a number of things for prayer this morning. Firstly, want to pray for Lorna Moore and the work that she does. Is that one back, Kyle, the picture? Go back. You've got different pictures than I have. Apologies. There you go. That was Gareth. There we go. Thank you. So which one is Lorna Moore? Lorna is the second on the left. Those of you who may be newer around the place, Lorna belonged here as a teenager. Her mom is here this morning. And Lorna works with an organization called IFES Europe, giving leadership to student Christian organizations around Europe. Her boss, who's the leader of IFES Europe, is a guy called David Montgomery. He's the tall guy in the middle. David's originally actually from Glengormley. He was a Presbyterian minister, and now he heads up this organization, IFES Europe. And that's them at a recent, I think it was a training team building event. The guy to David's right is a guy called Igor, who is a leader in Christian organizations in Eastern Europe. So even that picture gives you a flavor for the kind of stuff Lorna's involved in. And we support Lorna on an ongoing basis through our Mission Support Fund. And we want to pray for Lorna in her ongoing work. Secondly, we want to pray for those who care for others in their own homes. I'm aware as I talk to people within the congregation that quite a lot of you have caring responsibilities. Some of you, for example, are grandparents and you have significant caring responsibilities during the week for children, for grandchildren. Some of you have caring responsibilities maybe for an elderly relative, maybe somebody who lives with you, or somebody who, while they don't live with you, their needs are very, very much in your daily life. And often that role of being a carer, whether it's for the young or the old, is an unseen thing, but it's a big thing. And we want to pray for those within the congregation who carry caring responsibilities. Friday afternoon, I called in to see our bowling fellowship. That's not actually a picture that was taken at the bowling fellowship before you're trying to work out whose legs those are. It's just brilliant to see things like this that have been able to come back to life over the last few months. And there's just, and again, they've finished up for this term, but looking ahead to September, let me really commend that to you. If you're about during the day, it's a place of friendship. It's a place of just being with others. Yes, it's a place of bowling, but I think those who are there would tell you that that's not actually the biggest bit of it. It's the friendship, it's the fellowship. And we're really thankful for things like this within the congregation and the work that they do. And then finally, I do want to encourage us to pray for our moderator, Dr. John Kirkpatrick, who's taking up this role on Wednesday evening. Over the past year, I have served as what's called one of the moderator's chaplains. And that means I've been just quietly in the background as an encouraging and I suppose pastoral presence alongside David Bruce, who's been the moderator. And I guess that role has given me a wee bit of an insight into just the responsibilities, the pressures, the challenges that come with doing this role. Being the moderator is a hugely public role. And it lifts somebody out of doing just this job and then puts them into that role. And the guys that are willing to let their names go forward to this do it not out of any sense of ambition or any sense of getting a big job. They do it because they genuinely have a desire to honor the Lord Jesus in the public arena and to give leadership to our church. So I want to encourage you to really prayerfully just supporting and encouraging people like John. We have good people who give leadership to our church, and we are very thankful for the ways in which they serve. And so it's an opportunity to pray this morning for John in the work that he'll be doing. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that we're part of your church, and that makes us part of something bigger than what's going on here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the work of Lorna with IFES Europe, a role that stretches right across this continent of Europe and encourages young people to be witnesses for Christ in their work and university settings. Lord, we pray that you would encourage Lorna in all the work that she does. Keep her safe when she has opportunity to travel. Give her focus when she's working from home. And we pray particularly that through the work that she does and the work that Life East Europe does, young people would be especially encouraged, Lord, in those parts of Eastern Europe, including Ukraine, where being a witness for Christ is a very complicated and challenging thing. Lord, encourage Lorna, and encourage Lorna and Scott in their work in the church in Dromara, where they live. Father, we are conscious that many here within the congregation have caring responsibilities for other people. For some, that is caring for grandchildren or children during the day. But Lord, for others, it's caring for the needs of elderly relatives, whether they're at home or whether it's caring from a little bit of a distance, but carrying that daily concern and responsibility for those who need help. Lord, that can be a tiring thing. It's a privilege, but it's also a very demanding thing. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give strength to those who care for others. Caring, as we've said, for somebody who's elderly, caring for a child, caring maybe for somebody with additional needs. Lord, give strength and patience and help. It has been a joy, Lord, to see so much of our church life begin to come back over these recent weeks and months. And we thank you for our bowling fellowship. We thank you that that is a place of friendship and encouragement. And Lord, we pray that you'd be with the members of that group, and as September comes round, that you would add to that group and grow its membership. Finally, Father, we pray for the Presbyterian Church as members and leaders gather from across Ireland this week for the General Assembly. And Lord, we thank you for David Bruce and all that he has given to the church over these last 2 years, very demanding and challenging years. And Lord, we pray for John Kirkpatrick as he takes up this role of moderator this week. We pray that you would give to him wisdom and insight and physical strength and stamina as he engages on what will be a busy and demanding year. And pray that your hand would be upon all that goes on this week, Lord, and we commit our church to you. Father, finally, we pray for those who are not able to be here this morning, those who would love to be here but simply aren't well enough to be here, or those who are engaged in necessary work or other responsibilities. Father, where they are, be near to them. Be close to them. Help them to know they are remembered by us. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing our next piece. It's entitled Grace, and this will give our young people opportunity to go out to Bible class.
Forever and see.
this past term here in Ballyhenry, one of the people who we've been keeping company with is the Apostle Peter in a series entitled A Faith As Precious As Ours. Peter was one of Jesus's first disciples. And then as an older man, Peter wrote two letters to small groups of Christian people, small churches that were scattered across the Roman Empire. What was that empire like? Well, the Roman Empire was a melting pot of diverse culture, ethnicity, religion, and social background. And in this context, these small pockets of first century Christians find themselves living as a small, marginal, and often misunderstood minority. So it's to Christians like this, in a situation like this, that Peter writes. This morning we come to the final section of 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 to 18. And Jordan is going to read these verses for us.
Second Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 14. So then, dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Thanks, Jordan, and it's good to see you this morning. Wonder if you ever watch the program on TV, Who Do You Think You Are? It's a program about identity where celebrity guests are invited to search through their ancestry so that they might better understand all the different things that go into making them who they are. And over the years, it's featured a wide range of people, including Barbara Windsor, David Williams, Pixie Lott, and Daniel Radcliffe. Who do you think you are? Well, that's the question that Peter rounds out with in his second and final letter. He was near the end of his life, but many of his readers still had plenty of life to live. And he wrote in part because he wanted his readers to have a clear understanding of their identity in Christ as they looked forward in their lives. And the first thing we learn, and it's in verse 14, is that a Christian is someone who is looking forward. It's how this section begins. So then, dear friends, since we are looking forward, in this month's edition of the Presbyterian Herald, our new incoming moderator, who I've mentioned, John Kirkpatrick, talks about how all our encounters with other people should be modeled on how Jesus encountered other people. So in how we treat others and in how we speak to others, John says this. He says, tone is very, very important. Tone is very, very important in how we communicate with one another and in how we communicate with others. writing as an apostle, a teacher, a mentor, Peter has a consistent tone throughout his letters. Here in chapter 3, verse 14, he uses this phrase, dear friends. Verse 17, dear friends. 1 Peter 2, verse 11, 1 Peter 4, verse 12, 2 Peter 3, verse 1, 2 Peter 3, verse 8. Six times in these two short letters, Peter introduces a new section or a new topic with this greeting, dear friends. In the original language of the New Testament, the word used here literally means beloved. Who are you? At the cross, through Jesus Christ, you are loved by God. And this morning, if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus, Peter wants how you live and how you think to be a response to this foundational truth. In Jesus Christ, you are the beloved. In Christ, we not only have this present identity rooted in his death at the cross, but we have a future identity, a future destiny promised because one day he will return. Back in John's gospel, Peter himself had heard Jesus' promise. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me that you may also be where I am. We've talked about this a number of times in the last few weeks. The ultimate vision of the New Testament is not of Christians floating around on clouds or strumming harps in some kind of disembodied heaven, but it is of King Jesus making everything new and those who have responded to his love living out new lives, eternal lives in a new creation where we will see him and we will serve him. So this is not simply some kind of deathbed comfort for the Christian, but it is an ever-present horizon that forms the backdrop of every day of our lives, at every moment in our lives, as that day gets closer, when we will reach our final destiny, and we will be with the Lord forever. Who do you think you are? A Christian is someone who is looking forward. But secondly, in these verses, we learn that a Christian is someone who is getting ready. This theme begins in verse 14 and runs into verse 15. Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. At this time of the year, some of you maybe have that experience of getting ready to go on holidays. And there are things to be done. So depending on where you're going, you might need to get your passports ready or insurance organized. Maybe check that you still fit into last year's shorts, that emergency appointment with Gareth Edgar. Or that you know where the buckets and spades are. In this letter, Peter has taught and demonstrated how a significant aspect of the Christian life is getting ready for the new creation. Just as you would maybe put a sticky note on the fridge to remind you of what needs to be done, Peter here highlights two things that we need to pay attention to as we get ready. Firstly, we need to make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with God. Now again, we've touched on this in previous weeks. These were these words spotless. These words spotless and blameless. And this whole idea of living at peace with God, these are whole life words. These are everyday words. These are words that connect with our everyday lives. These are words that get worked out or denied in our everyday relationships. You see, the New Testament teaches that God does not divide your life up into a spiritual bit of your life and a secular bit of your life. God wants to build his kingdom in all of your life. So the question, are we making every effort, verse 14, to hand every part of our lives over to him as we get ready for life in the new creation? That's a big question. But secondly, we need to live patient lives because verse 15, God is patient. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. If you think about it this way, God could bring the shutters down on time and history right now. But he hasn't done this. And the reason why he hasn't done this is explained to us here in 2 Peter 3. He hasn't done this because in his patience, he is giving people time and space to choose to respond to his love. And that's why when we see people who are living lives that are very opposed to God's way, or making choices that are very against what the Bible would teach, our stance towards them, our tone towards them, is not a harsh, judgmental, raining condemnation down on them stance, but it's a patient, loving, waiting and hoping and building relationship and praying that they will come to that place of repentance, seeking to mirror God's patience. The God we serve is patient. Peter's original readers were living out their lives, their work lives, their social lives, surrounded by people who knew or cared little about the kingdom of God. And as we continually become aware of the changes within our society, it is so crucial that we get this. That the Bible is written not into a context where everybody loved God and everybody went to church on a Sunday and everybody. It's written into a pagan society that was a crazy society, a godless society. That's the context that a letter like 2 Peter hits them at. And you know that living in that kind of context can be hard. It can wear you down. It can wear you down as you seek to be different. Or it can suck you in and you start to lose your identity as a follower of Jesus. And you start to get into that place where, yes, you're kind of around here on a Sunday, but this time tomorrow, your life, it just looks like everybody else's. But you see, Peter's vision here is what I want to call one of patient difference, living with patient difference. We are called to be different, but we live out that difference in a patient way. And so this gives the Christian time and space to build friendships, to build relationships with the people who God has put around you. So that might be the people you work alongside. It might be the people who you phone from time to time. It might be the people you see down at the school gate. It might be the people you bump into in Tesco. It might be your friends on Facebook. Those are the places where God gives you opportunity to build patient, loving relationships. Not harassing people. Not haranguing people. But quietly being ourselves, living for Christ, patiently hoping and praying, and when the opportunity is right, speaking in a way that patiently points to a patient God. I came across, just as a way aside, a lovely interview yesterday in the Times magazine section of the Times newspaper. Dan Walker, who would have done Football Focus, that kind of stuff, presenter on morning television, who's just recently gone to Channel 5. There was an interview with Dan Walker, and talks about his work, talks about his media career, all that kind of stuff. And Dan Walker is somebody who's a Christian. Very interestingly, all his career, Dan Walker has refused to work on a Sunday. And you would imagine that in today's world, that would just be the end of somebody's career. And yet it's fascinating in a sense how Dan Walker has been continually able to do jobs and get jobs where his employers have actually worked with him on that. But there was this lovely section in the interview where the person asks Dan Walker, well, what is it that gives you confidence in your work? What is it that helps you to be who you are? And he said, well, really, he says, my life's built around three things. He said, family, friends, who was that? Good, goodness, family, friends, and faith. Family, friends, and faith. And he said, I don't do froth, fame, and fortune. Was that it? But when you read the interview, and this guy's working, I mean, this guy's worked for the BBC for years. This guy's working in the heart of the secular media. And it's just this lovely, it comes back to that thing John talked about, his tone. He's not pushing who he is at somebody. He's not shaking somebody by the scruff of the neck. He's just getting an opportunity to say, yeah, this is who I am. This is who I am. If you follow him on Twitter, quite often on a Sunday, a few weeks ago, lovely tweet. He tweeted a picture of some man he was giving a lift to church to. Just who he is. That's a lovely example of how we can do this in the most secular and the most hostile context. So who do you think you are? It's about looking forward. It's about getting ready. But thirdly and finally, in these verses, Peter helps his readers to understand that living in today's world as followers of Jesus meant keeping steady. A Christian is somebody who keeps steady. Peter was no stranger to life out on the water. He was, remember, a fisherman. But in verse 16, he uses a metaphor from that world to picture unstable people who bob about in how they handle the Bible. They teach it and they encourage others to apply it in a way that is inaccurate and untrustworthy and leaves people in danger of their faith being capsized. So in verse 17, Peter finishes this letter with a warning. Final words that are always very poignant. Those last words at the airport as you say goodbye to a close friend or a relative, those last words softly spoken as by a hospital bed, a much loved person slips in and out of consciousness. Last words are always very poignant. So it's very striking that Peter feels he wants and indeed needs to sign off with a warning. Verse 17, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error and the lawlessness and fall from your secure position. When I read that phrase, carried away, I think of the tide carrying things out to sea. I remember a few months ago being over at the Loch Shore at Jordanstown and seeing a dog fall into the water. And within minutes, a strong tide was carrying out into Belfast Lough. It was a very dangerous situation, which thankfully had a good ending. But Peter knows his readers are living in a world where the tide is against them, and it would be easy to listen to the wrong voices and to be shaped by the wrong worldview, and so to be carried away from confidence in God's word and from a clear vision of what God is calling us to be. So do you see how the challenges that you might feel as you seek to live your life in our culture are not new challenges? Neither are they challenges that the Bible is ill-equipped to meet. Cultures change. But the core challenges facing disciples of Jesus don't change. So here's a heartfelt appeal to be on our guard. Back at the time of the Reformation, those leaders who led the church back to the Bible talked about the sufficiency of Scripture. Where do we go to understand how to live in a changing society? We go back into the Bible, not picking a verse here and a verse there, but immersing ourselves in the whole story of Scripture so that we get the right words, we get the right stance, we get the right tone, we get the right heart, we get the right thing to live in this world. But secondly, here's a heartfelt appeal to grow. Verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Roughly 40 years before he wrote this letter, Peter as a young man had personally responded to words that called him to follow the Lord Jesus. And we know enough from the Gospels and even the later New Testament letters to know that Peter didn't understand everything about following Jesus all at once. And it's interesting when you read the detail of the New Testament, you discover that even after Pentecost and even after he had been filled with the Holy Spirit in power, there were still times when Peter got it wrong. One particular moment in Galatia where the apostle Paul had to rein Peter in and say, Peter, you're getting this wrong. Because following Jesus is about growing. From the moment he calls you to the moment he takes you home. And this is a hugely positive thing. It's an enormously exciting thing. It is an everyday present reality. But if we are to follow on from here, it is so crucial that we understand our Christian identity in this way. When God saves you, it is only the beginning. Years ago, when I was a teenager, I had a good friend who was in a Christian band, and they sang a song called Marking Time. And the message of the song was that you cannot mark time if you are a Christian. You can't stand still. At any moment in your life, you're either drifting out to sea as a Christian, or you're making choices and you're setting priorities in your life that help you to grow in faith and in obedience to Jesus. It is impossible to mark time. You're either slipping back or you're moving forward. Dear friends, I want to be part of a church family here where we are encouraging each other in these things. I was visiting a couple in the congregation during this week, and at the end of the conversation, the bloke looked at me and he said, how can we help you? We can help each other as we seek to encourage each other. To be people who are looking forward to our eternal home in a new creation, to be people who are getting ready, making every effort to live everyday lives that are spotless, blameless, and at peace with him, living among the people who God has us among in a way that patiently builds friendships and relationships with those who have not yet accepted his salvation and who currently have values that are very different to ours. And finally, to be people who keep steady, on guard against things that would unsteady us, on guard against false worldviews or voices that would distort or unsettle our confidence in Scripture and have us drifting out to sea, but rather to be people who grow together and who grow together to embrace this adventure of faith where Jesus is always ahead of us, calling us as his dearly beloved, shaping us in this place, in our daily lives, and in this community, and all in a way so that glory goes to him now and forever. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that we're part of this. Even this morning, Lord, we look around this building and we thank you for a sense of life and for people and for a belief that you're doing something among us. Lord, I pray that you would keep us steady. Keep your hand upon us. Give us a deepening awareness of who we are. in time and eternity. In this place, in this community, in our daily lives. And all for your glory, that in your patience you would lovingly draw more and more people to Christ. So that on that day there would be people from every part of this community who would be before the Lamb in heaven itself, a new creation. And all we pray in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing our final hymn, and it's the great hymn, Be Thou My Vision. Back in. All ready for next Sunday? We are looking forward to whatever you're going to be doing, and we look forward, all being well, to being here to see it all. So come on in. Everybody still coming? All right. So let me pray with you. Father, we ask that you'd go with us into the day ahead, into the week ahead. And all we ask in Jesus' name, amen.